Welcome to the UK Investor Magazine podcast, the latest on shares, markets and investments, now available on your Amazon Alexa.
Hello and welcome to the UK Investor Magazine podcast, now also available on the UK Investor Magazine mobile app. For today's podcast, we're going to be revisiting some very good questions that we had last week at the UK Investor Magazine Summer Investor Evening from some of our virtual participants. We had a huge number of questions that came through for Alien Metals, and we didn't unfortunately have time to answer all of them. So that's what we're going to do today. And to do that, we're kindly joined by Bill Brodie-Good, who is the CEO of Alien Metals. Bill, thank you very much for being with us today and also for presenting last week.
No, it's a pleasure to be here. It was a pleasure to present last week. It always helps, to be honest, it helps us focus a little bit on exactly what where we are with projects, what we're doing. And it's always good to have a chance to answer some questions, to clear up any issues investors or new investors might have. It was unfortunate at the presentation I couldn't do that, but nice to have a chance now. So
yes, and I know a lot of people listening to this were probably at the presentation, maybe had a good chat around the event. So very pleased to see you all there last week. So, you know, for those that don't know Alien Metals, before we get into this, we've got a number of questions here that we're gonna go through, Bill. But for those that are listening to this that maybe aren't familiar with Alien Metals, could you give us a brief introduction to give some context to Alien Metals, please?
Yeah, of course. So Alien Metals listed on AIM in London. Three main projects in terms of our sort of strategy and development. We sort of see ourselves precious and base metal explorer and developer. We currently the sort of front running project in terms of development is the Hancock iron ore project in the Pilbara. That also we have the Brockman tenement to the west, and just in the last few weeks we acquired the Vivash Gorge tenement further southeast of Brockman, but all in the key Pilbara iron ore sort of centre of Western Australia, and all with that sort of pinnacle of iron ore, the high grade direct shipping ore product as a focus of our work and our exploration. Then we have, again, this year we acquired the Money PGM project in also in the Pilbara in Western Australia, which sits concurrently with our existing Elizabeth Hill silver project and the surrounding exploration license. Money North is called at the moment. So we're very excited with that one. That's got a historic resource of over 2.2 million ounces of PGM. Probably one of the most underdeveloped. Well, it's never been mined or got to that stage, even though a lot of studies and research and work has been done. It's always sort of languished slightly in the background, but we're really excited to have that now in the portfolio. And that's a key project for possibly longer term as we push ahead. And then we have three sort of projects in Mexico, two silver and one copper, that really were sort of the founding assets in Alien at the sort of birth of the company. And we've recently done some maiden drilling, just a little bit of drilling on one of the silver and the Donovan 2 copper project. And yeah, we're waiting for some results from that early stage drilling, just to see what the next stages are for those.
Fantastic. Thank you very much, Bill. So, Bill, let's now get into the questions. So these were questions that we had from our virtual audience, the online presentation last week. So the first one we've got here is from Dip Sard, and he's asking, could you please provide an overview of potential options you may consider for Elizabeth Hills once your team regains access underground and gets a better understanding of what we have down there through further exploration?
Thanks for the question. I suppose one of the key things is to get underground. I just had some news this morning. The main headframe is now all prepared. We had to get it sort of fine-tuned for to bring it up to current health and safety standards. So that is going to soon be standing proud back over the main shaft, with then the next phase being the dewatering process to get the water out of the mine and be able to then get back down. So options for what we're going to do with the project, that's as with all our projects, you know, we need to make sure we provide the best return to all our investors. So depending what we find, what parties might be interested in joining us on the journey, or looking at, you know, funding, or possibly even you know, acquiring the project at whatever stage. So again, we just keep all our options open. We haven't set a specific route to take at the moment, but, you know, still really excited to get in there and get underground and just start really understanding, one, the we think quite a considerable amount of silver still remaining, and two, how we can really use that platform to do the next phase of exploration, both for developing the silver ore body, but I think as importantly, and linking with the Money project as well now, the larger sort of copper, nickel, base metal system that we believe exists in this whole, in this region, or in this sort of geological system that we now pretty much hold it all.
Thank you very much, Bill. So next question here was from Aaron Taylor, and this is around Hancock. The question was, Alien Metals applied for an exploration tenement EL47/4605 southwest of Hancock. Aaron asks, where did that come from, and have you done any groundwork, PXRF reading, etc., looking upside 2020 Q2, have you finished drilling on ridges C and E, and have you now moved south to new areas? And he also asks, how long are you expecting to be there, or have indeed you finished, and if you're going straight to Brockman?
All right. Well, thanks. There's quite a few questions there.
Yes.
I'll try and remember. I'll give an overview, I think, of where we are with Hancock. So, EL4605 was just a little diddy block down that we sort of noticed when we were just doing some research was available. And we thought, actually, it's minimal. I think annual expenditure is almost a few hundred, if not a couple of thousand Australian dollars a year. And it sits nicely sort of on the corner of what we hope will be a larger area to hold. So we just put an application in, and that's going through at the moment. So until that comes through, it's more a strategic acquisition. We're not sure if it's so small, it's not necessarily an economic one, but it's always good to have you know, ground close to your project, because it might be an area we could do something, be it a stockpile, be it, you know, if we want one day to set up a small camp in the area, something like that. So, you know, and having it in the portfolio is better in a way than having to deal with third parties. So that's sort of but we haven't done any work yet, and nothing, to be honest, is in the pipeline this year anyway. So the drilling, we just pretty much finished the drilling phase four on ridges C and E. That's gone really well. Had some really nice, you know, geological material that we like the look of, sort of matching what we were expecting. The rig is currently on another job, not for us, but we're looking at bringing it back hopefully to Brockman. That's correct, because Brockman's now ready. We have permission of works formalized and granted. We're just discussing with the mainly Rio Tinto, who hold most of the access and the haul roads to the south of Brockman. So, but as a friendly party, they're fine. We just need to go through the procedures of being in contact with them, getting permission to move vehicles and you know, drill rigs and stuff on their roads, inverted commas. So looking to, in the next few weeks, hopefully get drilling in at Brockman. And then we are waiting on further permission of works for Hancock, for, you know, the other ridges that we're really keen to test. But, you know, we're quite fortunate that we've got plenty to get on with. So that's all moving, I'd like to think, in the right direction. And, you know, we're just keeping an eye on monitoring the, you know, the work commitments, the spend against sort of, you know, keeping the budgets controlled. And there was a last...
The last question was that I think may have answered there. But it was about, you know, are you going to go straight to Brockman?
Yeah, so that,
talking well, about the different ridges.
Well, that's
there.
Right. So I think we, as I said, because we've got permission of works, we can, we just need to finalize the full sort of normal access, and we can get, we hope to get to Brockman next few weeks, as I said. And then, you know, the other option we're looking at is, we obviously, with Vivash Gorge that we just, as I said earlier, we just picked up, there is an existing permission of works already in place, quite a significant one, actually. It's like 30,000 meters worth of drilling. I mean, we're not going to go that bad, but we have that ability also to go and do some work there in the near future, which hopefully we will, to get the momentum and start getting a sense of the potential there as well.
Thank you, Bill. So next question here is from Stephen Miller, who asks, when do we expect the mining license to be granted for DSO, which is direct shipping ore, I believe?
Yeah, no, that's right. DSO, direct shipping ore. So anyone who's not familiar with that in the iron ore world, direct shipping ore is essentially material that needs no beneficiation, no processing, other than you essentially dig it out of the ground, you do a normal crush, so in a small mobile, in our case a small mobile crushing unit, just really to break down the larger blocks to more manageable sizes for transport. Then you screen it, and again the screening often divides the fines from the lump, the larger pieces from the fines, as you know, as they say, and then straight to market. So that's what the direct shipping ore is. In terms of the mining license for Hancock, we'd like, you know, without making too many bold statements, we would like to have it by the end of this year. That's our sort of goal, but you know, there's several factors involved in the granting of the license, which we're working on in the background. The team, Lloyd and Aaron and Reese from Green Values are doing great, making great strides. We've got lots of things moving forward in the right direction. So, you know, fingers crossed, strategy-wise, end of 2022 to be granted. Fingers crossed, really. And we'll obviously keep the market posted as and when we get news.
Great stuff. So moving on now, Bill, we've got a question here from JP. And I think in your first question, you may have addressed this, but we're going to ask it anyway. Are you planning on operating Elizabeth Hill Mine yourself?
I suppose Alien as a company, we're really a project developer and an explorer and, you know, add value to projects. And then get, you know, move them on to the next phase, normally with people more experienced in you know, the mining side of things. Hancock is different, I think, because it is such a simple process. We don't need huge, it's not a complex ore body or ore bodies, very simple. And we're fortunate to have, you know, as I said earlier, Lloyd and Aaron and people who have great experience and are really engaged in getting this into production. But something like Elizabeth Hill at the moment, as it stands as an underground mine, we know, I mean, we drilled recently the sort of oxide, the top 30-40 meters that from surface that was never really tested in the days of even of the mine. They only went to sort of the fresh material below 50, 60 meters. Yeah, we've intersected some amazing grades and material and consistent over, you know, tens of meters, not just a meter here or a meter there. So in one way, you know, with a strong silver price and a good economics, it's always a tempting thing to generate income, you know, to generate income for the company to then go and do what we do best, exploring. But at this stage, as I say, we're open to options. We're probably that would be a longer, honestly, a longer shot than what we're doing at Hancock, because it's a much more complex proposition. And we're not miners. I mean, we're explorers. That's what I like to think we're very good at, and I think we've proved that already. So, you know, there's different ways to move forward. I mean, if we felt at some point it was the right thing to do, then you would probably do what we did with Iron Ore Company of Australia and have a producer dedicated a mining team, inverted commas, who have the right experience, rather than myself, an explorer, and most of the people around me in the technical team being explorers, then we can focus on what we're doing. So it's just, you know, we'll monitor and see where we get to, and then hopefully make the right decision for everyone concerned.
Thanks so much, Bill. Very, very fascinating points that you made there about being an explorer as opposed to a miner. We're going to finish off now, Bill, with one last question again from Dipsard. We're looking at Hancock again, and he asks, could the wet season in Australia push production at Hancock into Q2 of next year rather than Q1?
I think, yeah, no, again, yeah, very fair question. I think the way we're planning and our dates and our scheduling and our strategy that we have, you know, internally that aren't unfortunately set in stone, because, you know, there's always factors that can produce delays, including the weather, which is very relevant at the moment. So the way one would design the access, the haul road, the operation, you would design it for worst case scenario. So normally on the road, on the haul road design, as an example, the engineers, they do what's called a 100-year flood level. So they look at, you know, the worst case 100-year flood potential water level that could occur. And therefore, you then build your haul road above that line, so that you're really trying to mitigate to the maximum any extreme weather to then be able to operate during the wet season. Now, all the mines out there do operate during the wet season. You just design your project, your mine, to be able to function, you know, in the wetter period. Obviously, a cyclone, you know, it's a cyclone area, and cyclones coming through, everyone has to stop for a few days. You just don't put life and limb at risk or equipment. Yeah, everyone has a quick few days at home and then goes back out. But that's always factored in to your mine planning. So we'd like to think it wouldn't, because we're planning accordingly and factoring in, you know, climatic conditions, worst case climatic conditions, that to mitigate against such an issue.
That's great, Bill. Thank you. Thank you very much. So just as a quick note before we go, anybody listening to this, do check out the notes to the podcast, because there'll be a link through to the full presentation Bill gave at the Summer Investor evening last week on the UK Investor Magazine website, which expands on some of those points in greater detail. So, Bill, thank you very much for being with us once more today.
No, John, it's a pleasure, and I hope everyone, we mentioned earlier, you know, with the difficult times we're all facing, I hope everyone has manages to get a bit of a holiday in and a bit of R&R, and we can all hopefully when the autumn comes, things are shaping up a bit better, and we can all have a good run into to the end of the year.
Indeed, looking forward to that, Bill.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, John. Okay. Thanks for your time.
We hope you enjoyed listening to the UK Investor Magazine podcast. Please do share the podcast, and we really value any reviews and comments you leave us in your chosen podcast player. The views presented by the hosts and guests of the UK Investor Magazine podcast are in no way investment advice, and please remember, all investment involves risk.